Hey there, how was your weekend? Around here it was hot, as it is in most of the country right now. This is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 507. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we're going to read 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 from the Good News Translation. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now concerning what you wrote about food offered to idols, it is true, of course, that all of us have knowledge, as they say. Such knowledge, however, puffs a person up with pride, but love builds up. Those who think they know something really don't know as they ought to know, but the person who loves God is known by him. So then, about eating the food offered to idols, we know that an idol stands for something that does not really exist. We know that there is only the one God. Even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, and even though there are many of these gods and lords, yet there is for us only one God, the Father, who is the creator of all things and for whom we live. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this truth. Some people have been so used to idols that to this day, when they eat such food, they still think of it as food that belongs to an idol. Their conscience is weak, and they feel they are defiled by the food. Food, however, will not improve our relation with God. We shall not lose anything if we do not eat, nor shall we gain anything if we do eat. Be careful, however, not to let your freedom of action make those who are weak in the faith fall into sin. Suppose a person whose conscience is weak in this matter sees you, who have so-called knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol. Will not this encourage him to eat food offered to idols? And so this weak person, your brother for whom Christ died, will perish because of your knowledge. And in this way you will be sinning against Christ by sinning against other Christians and wounding their weak conscience. So then, if food makes a believer sin, I will never eat meat again, so as not to make a believer fall into sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not a free man? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord? And aren't you the result of my work for the Lord? Even if others do not accept me as an apostle, surely you do. Because of your life in union with the Lord, you yourselves are proof of the fact that I am an apostle. When people criticize me, this is how I defend myself. Don't I have the right to be given food and drink for my work? Don't I have the right to follow the example of the other apostles and the Lord's brothers in Peter by taking a Christian wife with me on my trips? Or are Barnabas and I the only ones who have to work for our living? What soldiers ever have to pay their own expenses in the army? What farmers do not eat the grapes from their own vineyard? What shepherds do not use the milk from their own sheep? I don't have to limit myself to these everyday examples, because the law says the same thing. We read in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox when you are using it to thresh grain." Now, is God concerned about oxen? Didn't he really mean us when he said that? Of course that was written for us. Anyone who plows and anyone who reaps should do their work in the hope of getting a share of the crop. We have sown spiritual seed among you. Is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have the right to expect this from you, don't we have an even greater right? But we haven't made use of this right. Instead, we have endured everything in order not to put any obstacle in the way of the good news about Christ. Surely you know that the men who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who offer the sacrifices on the altar get a share of the sacrifices. In the same way, the Lord has ordered that those who preach the gospel should get their living from it. But I haven't made use of any of these rights, nor am I writing this now in order to claim such rights for myself. I would rather die first. Nobody's going to turn my rightful boast into empty words. I have no right to boast just because I preach the gospel. After all, I am under orders to do so. And how terrible it would be for me if I did not preach the gospel. If I did my work as a matter of free choice, then I could expect to be paid. But I do it as a matter of duty, because God has entrusted me with this task. What pay do I get then? It is the privilege of preaching the good news without charging for it, without claiming my rights in my work for the gospel. I am a free man, nobody's slave, but I make myself everybody's slave in order to win as many people as possible. While working with the Jews, I live like a Jew in order to win them, and even though I myself am not subject to the law of Moses, I live as though I were when working with those who are in order to win them. In the same way, when working with Gentiles, I live like a Gentile, outside the Jewish law, in order to win Gentiles. This does not mean that I don't obey God's law. I am really under Christ's law. Among the weak in faith, I become weak like one of them, in order to win them. So I become all things to all people, that I may save some of them by whatever means are possible. All this I do for the gospel's sake, in order to share in its blessings. Surely you know that many runners take part in a race, but only one of them wins the prize. Run, then, in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to be crowned with a wreath that will not last, but we do it for one that will last forever. That is why I run straight for the finish line. That is why I am like a boxer who does not waste his punches. I harden my body with blows and bring it under complete control to keep myself from being disqualified after having called others to the contest. May God bless the reading of His Word. Well, in chapter 8 today, Paul talked to the Corinthian church about food offered to idols and whether a believer should eat it. Now, this subject seems kind of strange to us today, but in Greece, where the city of Corinth is, the worship of many different gods and idols was commonplace, and often certain foods were sacrificed to these idols before it made its way to the marketplace to be sold. So the question for some in the Church of Corinth was whether or not this food should be eaten by believers. Some felt that food offered to idols was tainted or unclean. Certainly the Jews who were there avoided it for this very reason. Well, Paul's teaching on this was surprising to those who thought they should not eat this meat. He said, "Look, idols are nothing. They aren't gods. They're just inanimate objects. So eating food that's offered to them is no big deal. It's not going to separate you from God." He said, "Food will not improve our relation with God. We shall not lose anything if we do not eat, nor shall we gain anything if we do eat." But Paul didn't leave it there. There's more to it than just eating the food. Some of the believers in the church in Corinth had previously been idol worshippers. They had participated in offering meat to these false idols, and they felt that this meat was defiled. So, instead of forcing them to violate their consciences, Paul said that believers who would otherwise not have a problem with this meat should not eat it if doing so would cause one of these other brothers or sisters to stumble. Because for those who had been idol worshippers, it was a sin since it went against their conscience. Personal freedom is a gift of grace. But if your freedom causes someone to violate their conscience, thus causing them to sin, then you too have sinned. It's all about love. If I love you, I won't insist on having my own way. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I hope you had a great weekend. Much of the U.S. has been in a heat wave. Here in Southern California, we're no different. We've been well over 100 degrees. And Saturday, at the peak of the heat, the fuses blew out on our air conditioner. But thankfully, a good Christian AC technician taught me years ago how to change the fuses myself, and I always have spares, so it didn't take long to get the cool air blowing again. I hope you're in a cool place. Thank you for starting your week off with me. Tomorrow, we'll continue the book of Isaiah. My thanks to my friendly editor for his support of the show. Stop by support.lifespringmedia to see how you can be a part of the support team. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.